Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
Welcome to the new era of Podomania, the Paul era of Podomania. And by Paul, I mean that movie from about the alien that with Simon Pegg and the. You remember that movie?
Yeah, that one.
It was a classic.
I thought it was going to be the Paul White era, that we were just dedicating everything to the big show. Just insisting that he is the greatest wrestler of all time.
All right. So WrestleMania happened about 2 weeks ago. WrestleMania 40. And so we're going to do our WrestleMania review. And then after this, actually, we are going to transition from movies back into talking about wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of exciting things happening. Vince is fully gone.
Yeah.
Fully gone. And it is completely the, I hate saying Paul Levesque.
Yo, yeah, Triple H.
It is officially the Triple H era.
Yes.
And it's what we all wanted it to be. And it's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. So after this, our next episode will be a way too early. This is inspired by a video, actually, I saw from WrestleTalk. They did way too early predictions for WrestleMania 41. And I was like, oh, that's cool. We'll do something like that. And by something like that, I mean just that.
Yeah.
So we're going to a prediction for WrestleMania 40. I had mine all finished, sort of. And then, you know, Rhea Ripley decided to go get injured. And that changed one of my matches because it involved her carrying that title for another year.
Mm.
And going into WrestleMania against Bianca Belair, who has a winning streak.
Yes.
At WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
A title versus streak match. But now that theoretically it could still happen, but it won't mean as much because she had to give it up.
Yeah.
Anyway, looking forward to that. But WrestleMania 40, this took place over two nights in Philadelphia, the city of we throw things at Santa because our teams aren't doing well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the city of brotherly love, but probably no therapy.
It's a city of brotherly love, but like they're like well known for just riots and booing, but just the bad crowds, and it's like, come on, you're not the city of brotherly love.
Yeah, city of brotherly love, but the brothers are Undertaker and Kane.
Yeah. That's true. By the way, you know how this WrestleMania they were building up Jey Uso versus Jimmy Uso? And yeah, we're talking about like all the other matches where in WrestleMania where brother has faced brother, and they brought up Bret and Owen, and I forgot the different ones they brought up, but I saw someone put, how dare they disrespect the great match between WrestleMania match between the brothers Undertaker and Kane. And I was like, oh, well, I mean, technically, if we're doing kayfabe here.
Yeah, we're doing storyline. Yeah.
Actually, storyline, I think they're only half brothers because, as we all know, Paul Bearer is the actual father of Kane.
Yes.
So, yeah.
So there.
Let's get serious here.
Yeah, come on.
So I didn't want to kind of go over everything. I wrote down the rundown of night one and night two, and I figured we'd just read the rundown of night one. Anything we want to talk about, we'll talk about there. Obviously, the main event. And then the same thing with night two, because I feel like the thing we want to spend most time on is the thing that was at the center of this WrestleMania, which was Bloodline, Roman Reigns, The Rock versus Cody Rhodes.
Yeah. And
to a lesser extent, Seth Rollins. So we'll start with night one. So the show opened for the Women's World Heavyweight Championship. Rhea Ripley defeated Becky Lynch to retain, followed by the six-pack tag team ladder match for the undisputed tag team titles. Now, they still use the separate two belts, which has always upset me, because when Roman got the two belts, eventually they gave him just that one belt like a year ago.
Right. So,
like, here's your one belt. No more of this multiple belts nonsense.
Yeah.
But they kept the tag teams with two belts, two sets. And I was like, either join them together or separate them. And they just had them holding both titles for like a full year.
Yeah.
So I like that they put them on separate things, and they made it like, if you want to be the undisputed quote unquote, you got to get both. Otherwise, if you get one, you've only won those belts. You haven't won both of them. And I like that as a way of splitting up the tag belts, because it makes more sense.
Yeah.
And so we had the first team to win, unfortunately, although it's nice that the heels essentially won first and then the faces won last.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because that's how you want it.
Yeah.
You don't want to close the match with the heels winning the other
especially when it's Austin Theory and Grayson Waller.
Yeah.
The spectacular A-Town Down Under. Which, it's a mouthful. It's on the verge of being a good name, and it's not quite there yet.
Yeah. It sounds like an unpopular train.
Yeah.
The A-Town Down Under. I tell you, man, the A-Town Down Under, it's always broken. I can't take the A-Town Down Under. But I did like, the one thing I like about Grayson Waller is I saw a clip that he said that everyone's talking about his new streak because he's 1-0 at WrestleMania. So he's like the new Undertaker.
He's the new Undertaker.
I love that.
So they captured the SmackDown tag team titles first. And then the rest of the teams try and go for the Raw tag team titles. Eventually, Miz and R-Truth were able to capture the tag team titles and are now the Raw tag team titles. They have since each this week gotten new tag team belts.
Yep.
So the Raw tag team titles will now be the World Heavyweight Tag Team Champions, and the SmackDown will be the WWE Tag Team Champions. So I guess they're going with this whole, the titles on Raw are the world titles,
yeah,
and the titles on SmackDown are the WWE titles. What's the difference? No idea, but I like at least they're trying to make a clear distinction as to different things.
Yes.
Other than just being like, oh, the SmackDown title, oh, the Raw title. Making it World and WWE makes it a little more illustrious. And I like the title designs. I don't know about you. What do you think of the new titles?
I think they're good. I think the World Heavyweight title kind of got me used to the designs that they are shifting towards in the belt. It feels like it's not a replica of the World Heavyweight title, but there's definitely a theme and a similar design that I'm like, okay, I can get on board. I bumped up against the World Heavyweight title at first. It took me a while to get used to that.
Yeah, I've gotten used to it. Yeah.
So I was like, okay, yeah, that it wasn't like I was thrilled. It was like, that makes sense. That's logical in this world of sports that we are creating here. That makes sense that those belts would look that way.
And honestly, it is throw all the shade you want at that world heavyweight title, the women's or the men's, they are infinitely better than the big W belts.
Yeah,
those are trash,
yeah.
And I'm hoping we're going to get rid of all those versions. Seems like we are. It seems like that's the direction they want to go.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping for. I mean, the dream of dreams that we've all talked about in this, you know, Cody worship scenario is he's going to win the belt. He's not only going to win the belt, but he's going to change the belt to the big winged eagle.
Indeed. Oh, yeah.
Which is not even his call, which he actually talked about briefly after winning. And it was like, yeah, it's not his call.
Yeah.
It's whatever. So I could imagine, actually, I could really imagine them making a change, especially because so much of them saying this is a new era, this is a new era.
Mm-hmm.
It would make sense that they would change the undisputed, universal belt. Though, however, I wonder how soon they're going to do that, since it feels like that belt hasn't been around that long.
Well, they've already changed it.
Oh.
It is now listed as the undisputed WWE Championship.
Okay.
And not, they took Universal out of it.
Oh, okay, yeah, that's what I was thrown off by too, because it was in there and then it wasn't in there. So, okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So it is officially now just the undisputed WWE Championship.
Right.
But
at least design-wise, you know.
I have a feeling if they're going to do a redesign, which I feel like they are, they're either going to wait and present it either at or after Backlash, since it's his first title defense.
Right.
Or present it to him like after a really big defense, or before a really big defense, like it's like SummerSlam or something like that.
Yeah.
That's what I thought maybe they would do it right after WrestleMania, and then they did the tag belts, and I was like, okay, they don't want to pull attention from, they don't want to do like all new belts, you know, like immediately. They want to space them out.
Right.
Anyway, I just thought I'd throw it in there because they got new titles, which is awesome.
Yeah.
They got rid of the the gladiator belts, which,
yeah, it looked a little WCW to me. That's what it kind of looked like to me.
Yeah, they're a little better than the big penny belts that came before, the big copper ones that essentially the same ones, but they're copper. There's like a big penny on the front.
Yeah. That was just an ode to how much Vince McMahon did not care about tag teams.
Yes. Oh, yeah. So following the tag team ladder match, we had Rey Mysterio and Andrade defeating Dirty Dom and Santos Escobar with the help of two sports guys from the Eagles.
Yeah, that's right. Which for some reason they needed to be masked, and then that made it okay that they interfered.
What was his name? It's not Jason Kelsey. It's
his Is it the other Kelsey brother?
The other Kelsey brother. The one that retired.
Brotherhood. Yeah.
The one that's not dating Taylor Swift.
Right.
Yet another WrestleMania match with Rey and Dominic, where Rey Mysterio wins. So see if they keep that a tradition or not. That was followed by the brother versus brother, Jey Uso versus Jimmy Uso match. Jey won that one. And then that following that was the 3-on-3 match between Damage Control and Jade Cargill, Bianca Belair, and Naomi. They defeated Damage Control in about an 8-minute match.
Mm-hmm.
The co-main event was the Intercontinental title match. Sami Zayn surprisingly defeating Gunther to become the new Intercontinental champion. And I loved that match.
Man.
this was a great kind of appetizer to the main event. I don't think it was the right time to take it off of Gunther. I thought maybe you do that at in either Bash in Berlin, which happens after SummerSlam. It happens in August. And I know it's kind of weird because, like, oh, he's in his home country. Well, he's Austrian technically, but he's in his home country. He's in his home, you know, in Berlin. Have him lose in front of his home. Yes, have him lose. Because then that puts more. Anyway, I have an idea of how to keep that idea going. I thought it might have been a better place to take it off of him. Mm-hmm. Because now it's. Because now they have Sammy and apparently Chad Gable turning heel.
Recently. Yeah, he did.
So where does that leave Gunther? He's probably, one, he's probably going to take some time off. He deserves it. But mm-hmm. two, when he comes back, where is he going to go? Is he going to go after the World Heavyweight title? Is he going to go after Cody? Because if you have him go up against Cody too soon, then you have the thing of, are you just going to rip the title off of Cody this quickly? Or are you going to have Cody beat Gunther and have it be like, oh God, are we seeing like a Super Cena version of Cody? And then you start killing Cody's character. What makes that character great?
Right.
So I'm kind of, but that, all that being said, it was really, really cool to see. I got wrapped up in the emotion of it. And it was, and you and I were talking about this as it was happening.
That one especially, I was like, he's just going to kill him. He's just going to beat the tar out of him right in front of his wife. That's why he told his son not to watch. I was like, this it felt ominous. And it was like, oh, no, he's just going to murder him.
It felt like Rocky.
And Chad Gable will have to revenge him. And they did such a good job of selling you on, oh, yeah, Gunther is, you know, he is an unstoppable punishing machine. Mm-hmm. Sammy is trying, but he doesn't really have much of a shot, but he refuses to quit, which is only going to make things worse. And then Sammy breaks out a, what was it? I can't remember the name of the move that he broke out that he does not do.
I forget. It's one he did a long time ago.
Right. Yeah. It's not, I feel like it's something, I don't know. I'm just going to call it the turnbuckle.
The brainbuster, I think.
Yeah, brainbuster, where he did like this corkscrew move and nailed Gunther's head on the post.
Yeah, the second rope, I think. Yeah.
That was insane.
Yeah, yeah. And totally believable. Yeah, I thought it was going to be Rocky. I thought it was going to be Rocky IV.
Yeah.
I was up to the point because they had that huge entrance, followed them in the back, which is amazing. And they fall, and the most recent one they did when they turned Chad Gable heel, recently, and they had the match, and they had him, they followed Jey Uso after his match out through the building in one continuous shot, meeting Sami Zayn out in the front, and then followed Sami Zayn all the way back into the crowd. Which made me go like, all right, you got Scorsese directing now. Like,
This is Roger Deakins. This is 1917 Raw.
Like,
this is incredible.
Yeah, but it had a very cinematic thing, and they even did lines from Rocky. I believe Chad Gable said like, "Remember, you owe me one," or something.
Yeah,
like
that. This you're gonna owe me one. Yeah,
yeah, and. So yeah, it felt like Rocky II or Rocky III or Rocky IV, and you were saying like it might be Rocky IV, where he's Apollo, mm-hmm. and he dies, well doesn't die, but like gets murdered out there and has to get avenged later on by Chad Gable,
right?
And it certainly looked like it was going that direction. They didn't. But I think it would have been good that way. I think it's great this way. I'm intrigued where they're going. And great match. Only 15 minutes. It felt longer. But
it wasn't, because everything was so intense. Everything felt.
Yeah,
I think that was the right amount of time for what they were doing. But yeah, it felt longer because everything felt like, oh, because, you know, I had to take a breath after. It's like, oh man, this is rough.
Yeah.
Oh, that's why it feels longer, because you feel uncomfortable. Like, oh no, he's just beating the tar out of him.
It's like, just, yeah, just slams down, looks over at his wife, yells at her from the ring, does another one. Does another power bomb, yells back over, and it's like, oh God, this is painful. But it's great. Sammy's such a great underdog. He's such a great underdog.
He sold so well.
Yeah.
I believed he was hurt. Oh man.
Absolutely. And then we got the main event that was about a 5-minute entrance just for the Bloodline. Like, these entrances were ridiculous. It took so long, and then the match starts. So it's The Rock and Roman Reigns versus Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins. First of all, Seth Rollins' outfits are getting ridiculous.
His entrance was ridiculous.
Like, they're
had to explain to us what in the world was going on.
Yeah, who are these people? Like, we don't know.
Right. If you're from Philadelphia, you understand. It's part of their city, part of their culture, part of a celebration. But if you're not, it's like, I feel like I'm having a fever dream here. What is going on?
Yeah. Anyway. But the match starts, and it's like a bunch of stare downs for almost like 2 or 3 straight minutes of not much happening.
Mm-hmm.
And you feel like, God, this is the main event. I was looking forward to this, and this is like, it's boring. But they did a good job, because they started way, way low, so they had so much room to just go gigantic. This is the longest match on both nights, 44 minutes and 35 seconds. Bloodline defeats Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins. The Rock defeats Cody Rhodes,
specifically.
Cody was going to go do a a crossroads on Roman, and then The Rock slapped him in the back with the belt.
Yeah,
enabled Roman to kind of spear him down.
Mm-hmm.
Rock does another people's elbow, 1, 2, 3. And midway through the match, they're brawling outside, and the ref is counting, and they get up real close to Rock, and he says,
I'm firing your butt.
Well, you didn't use that language, but yes.
Yeah.
And I thought, I like that.
That was great. That was exactly. That was exactly the character that they're telling us he is.
Yeah.
And using, really perfecting the art that Roman Reigns began under the shutdown wrestling, of this key dialogue during matches.
Yeah.
And having these zoom in moments, because, you know, everyone talks during a match, but having what feels like specific spots where there's these key moments of, okay, this moment is changing. And we thought this was going to be a traditional match. And then The Rock just turns it on a dime, going, nope. There's not going to be any countouts. He changes the rules mid-match.
Because he can't. Yeah.
And it was like, oh, and then the entire match opened up. We thought we were going to get a traditional tag match. And then we were just brawling throughout the arena. And then it came back to the ring. And it was giving me flashbacks of the Attitude Era, of, you know, the tradition of chaos and brawling through the crowd. And
like when Vince McMahon would just randomly, because he's the boss, be like, Vince McMahon has now changed this match to a handicap match.
Yeah.
Or now it's a, you know, no disqualification match. You know.
Now it's a false count anywhere.
Yeah, because like, oh, Austin's winning, so I'm going to change it.
Yeah.
Which, you know, is ridiculous if done wrong, but when done right like this, it's perfect. It's perfect. Mm-hmm. And having night one end on a downer. Because they were, first of all, it was a good idea because everyone was cheering for The Rock.
Yeah.
And part of that, and there were a little boos for Cody, and the big thing, and I think you and I were talking about this as we were watching it, and I was like, The Rock hasn't wrestled in like, what, 10 years?
Yeah.
10, 15 years? Mm-hmm. So a lot of those cheers are just like, oh my God, The Rock is going to wrestle again. This is awesome.
Right. It's exciting. He's back.
Exciting, yeah. So it's a good idea to preface that with that so they can get all their cheers and like, oh, I want to cheer for The Rock out of the way so that when it's finally down to Cody and Roman, you will cheer Cody, you will boo Roman because we do not want Roman to win at all, you know, but you have your cake and eat it too. So I thought that was a good way to kind of get around that. And also a good way to, if you're having Cody win, a good way to set up, you know, since they had this whole tangled web of it's Rock and Roman, and then, oh no, it's Rock and Roman and Cody, and it's Rock and Cody, but now it's really just Roman and Cody, of having this thing where Cody's the champion, he beat 1, 2, 3 in the middle of the ring, Roman Reigns, but The Rock did pin Cody. And Cody has never pinned The Rock.
Yeah.
So there is that lingering question to bring him back at any point.
Mm-hmm. Right. Which I love that The Rock made a point of making before leaving. Yeah.
That he said, whether you have the title or not, I'm coming back for you. That way, it's not like, there's no way Cody can keep the title because he's got to have a program with The Rock, but by The Rock setting it up as like, whether you have the title or not, is like, no, this is personal. I don't care about the title. You can lose that. You can keep it. I don't care. I'm coming back for you because you've ruined my WrestleMania moment. Says the guy who main evented it like 3 or 4 times. And has like some of the most memorable WrestleMania moments in history.
Mm-hmm. He needed his WrestleMania moment.
Who is that in the ring with Hulk Hogan? I forget. Anyway. That was night one. Any thoughts about night one?
My thoughts about night one. I think Becky Lynch might be the Randy Savage of this era.
Absolutely. I agree. She
does not disappoint when it comes to WrestleMania. She's delivering amazing matches, win or lose, and what she did with Rhea Ripley was incredible. Specifically, it's the electric chair spot where she moved outside the ring. I'm convinced she was concussed after that. She just took it to the back of the head. Mm-hmm. That was insane. But that whole match was brutal and was great. And both of them at the top of their game. And it's a shame that Rhea got hurt. Yeah. Because I'd love to see them do it again. Them doing a rematch at SummerSlam, I think, would be terrific.
Yeah.
I
do hear Becky and Seth are both taking some extended time off after WrestleMania. Any two that does, especially Seth, good Lord.
Yeah.
If there's any two that deserve some time away, it's those two.
Right. And it all makes sense. It makes sense for them because they work so hard, especially both of them on the road, you know, every show and cranking out great matches. But also just to give other people a shot. I mean, they have so much talent there.
Yeah.
That them, Seth moving out of Raw for a bit, giving other people to, you know, it would give other people like, you know, Sammy or Chad Gable more programming time to do what they do.
Yeah.
So I think that would be great. And also, I mean, Drew
mm-hmm.
has been fantastic. And I think he's on a run. And I think that just frees up more space for, you know, the folks who are already doing great, but also the folks, you know, we either haven't seen or haven't seen that much. I mean, guys like
Bron Breakker has been called up, so you know they're going to want to do something with Bron Breakker.
Yeah, because they have to replace Brock Lesnar.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Well, their new Brock Lesnar is Gunther.
Yes.
That's the new Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, but Braun.
Braun. They're going to want to do something with him. He's a monster.
But yeah, absolutely. So yeah, Becky's match was great. That was the first thing that came to mind for night one. But the other big thing that came for me for night one would be, I agree with you. I don't think Gunther should have lost. Even though I absolutely loved that match.
Oh, loved it. Absolutely.
Loved it. But I do think he should have. If he's going to lose that belt, I want to see Gunther lose the Intercontinental Championship and the main event of a PLE. I want the Intercontinental title to be the main event, not, you know, not the lead up, because I want a build up that's similar to, you know, the British Bulldog versus Bret at SummerSlam.
Mm-hmm.
That type of fever pitch.
Oh, that would be great.
Build up that I think his send off deserves, because he's done such. I mean, he resurrected that division and that belt, where it was on par with the U.S. title, which was nothing at all.
Mm-hmm.
Logan is doing similar things with that belt in his way, shining it up with his celebrity and doing a great job in and out of the ring. But yeah, I think Gunther should have. Really, his end with that belt should have been so much bigger. It shouldn't have been a surprise. It should have been a huge buildup.
Yeah.
So
I agree. Given the way they're handling it. Yeah, I definitely, if I had it my way, I would have kept it on him and just did what we were talking about like he just crushes Sammy and then it's the revenge in Berlin. I don't know how you'd stretch that out, but like, I feel like you could from now until August and have him lose in Berlin and give him kind of a like when Drew lost against Roman
right
to the castle, you know, getting that moment in front of the crowd where it's like you lost, but you put on such a great match. We're going to, you know, give you the final curtain, so to speak.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're exactly right. That gives him like a curtain call type feeling that he deserves for all his work, because night one was a moment for Sami Zayn. It wasn't a moment for Gunther.
Yeah.
He lost, did the job, and got out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
Like you're supposed to do, but I imagine it's because he's moving on to bigger and greater things that he, you know, wasn't given a moment, but yeah, I think he was due.
I have a story pitched for our next episode.
Oh yeah.
I thought about this for a long time. And I have I think is a great story involving Gunther becoming essentially the next tribal chief. Not specifically that way, but like the dominant champion, the actual like final boss of WWE, not to borrow The Rock's term.
Right.
And yeah, it involves him and one of the championships, Berlin, Royal Rumble, and WrestleMania. I can't wait to talk to you about that.
Oh, I'm looking forward to that. I would love to see him make an argument that he is related to the Anoa'i family, that he is somehow a cousin of the Usos. possibly related to The Rock in some way. Maybe he's an illegitimate son of Rikishi. He's like, if Gunther could at some point say, I did it for The Rock.
he was adopted by Yokozuna.
Before. Oh, that's great. That would be great if he could be the adopted son of Yokozuna.
You know, because the Japanese had a history with, even though he's not Japanese, you know, with Germany, even though he's not German.
Right. He might as well. He's just as German as Kofi is Jamaican.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So night two, here's where we get going. Opening match, great opening match. Drew McIntyre defeats Seth Rollins to become the new World Heavyweight Champion with CM Punk on commentary. Mm-hmm. He has a little tuss up with Drew, causing Damian Priest to come out, cash in his Money in the Bank, and defeat Drew McIntyre with a razor's edge and become the new World Heavyweight Champion. This whole thing was great. Like, especially the beating Seth Rollins took the night before. It was a great way to sell this match, knowing that, like, realistically, this would not be a close match. It was like a 10-minute match, followed by a 9-second match. And also getting Punk involved and finding a way. And I love what Drew's doing. I love everything he's doing because it's so believable. And it's so, like, the pettiness is so funny.
Yep.
But at the same time, hateable. It's like, that's kind of funny, but I'm still going to cheer against you.
Yeah.
Which is hard. Usually if a heel does that nowadays, something that's funny, it's, oh, you're cool now.
Yeah.
Drew keeps that, like, no, I'm not cool. You can find the things I'm doing funny, but, you know, I'm still a prick. And his whole, like, camera, telling the camera guy as he's, like, in front of, you know, Punk, like, I want to get a picture. I want to put a picture. I want to get a frame picture of this, you know.
Yeah.
And then Punk just, like, you know, first of all, he's looking good.
That was wild. That was that whole sequence from that match to the win to the punk shot, and then Damian Priest cashing in. I mean, that is what you want from professional wrestling.
Absolutely.
That was, I mean, holy cow. And that's what you also want from WrestleMania is payoff. And that was payoff after payoff after payoff. It was like, this is great. Because I mean, because first, Drew deserved it.
Oh, yeah.
Second, what were they gonna do with Punk? It was like this. It was this big question mark, and it was a bummer, especially if you're a CM Punk fan. Mm-hmm. That there was kind of this. It would be a cloud over them out over this Mania that he's there, but he's in commentary. What's he gonna do? So especially if you are primarily a CM Punk fan, this was a huge moment for you. Because he not only got involved, he busted out the brace, and I'm like, wait a minute, is he back sooner than we thought?
I think he's gonna, because it's a similar injury to the one he had last time in AEW.
Mm-hmm.
It took a long time, but apparently we've all found out he had to do all that himself in terms of rehab, getting it fixed, and all that. This one, WWE took care of all of it. And strangely enough, that's the reason why he left WWE, because their health wasn't healthcare wasn't the best.
Yeah.
Kind of cool to see.
Like a staph infection.
Even yeah. And he says he's really far along in terms of where he expected to be. So I think who knows? You might see him back by SummerSlam.
That would be great. That would be wild. But yeah, just having that big of a moment where he was breaking out the brace, you know, taking off the jacket and everything. I was like, oh, and that was one of the first big pops of the, I mean, that was a big pop after Drew winning. which was, you know, he got his ovation that he deserved.
Good, because he had his moment. He had his run as champion. The thing he really, really needed, and I think personally wanted, was just the ovation of the crowd of him winning.
Yeah.
He doesn't need another title. I mean, he could do another title run. He's good.
Yeah, he could, but
you know, right now it's more about, like, and also with the contract negotiation, you know, and he says he wants to stay. He doesn't want to leave. So hopefully that means he's staying. That would be great.
Yeah.
If not, they kind of wrap that story up well enough to where it's not a lingering story that never got finished.
Yeah.
So then after that, we had some nonsense with the Pride, meaning Bobby Lashley, Street Profits, against the Final Testament, the team of the Authors of Pain, and Karrion Kross with the guest referee of Bubba Ray Dudley, Bully Ray, whatever you want to call him, the Pride. Right. And that was a match.
Yeah, I've heard.
I think it was an Extreme Rules match. That was the other.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it was them trying to tip their cap to Philadelphia and ECW, I guess. I don't know if I had a fever dream or if they actually did screw up the wording. I have to rewatch WrestleMania again, because I'm pretty sure in the Final Testament's promo, they had the New Testament down there. I'm almost certain that they did. I listened to a number of wrestling podcasts, and I love that somebody came up with a nickname for them. What were they? The Bibles of Tomorrow. Oh man. I wanted to just call them the Apocrypha, because you already have the New Testament.
And actually the highlight of this match, which shows how just, I would definitely say if a match could either be bad or good, this match was fine. I'd say it's right there in the middle. The thing that keeps it from going into bad for me, the amazing, amazing chaotic commentary
from Snoop.
Snoop Dogg.
Oh man, it was so good because he had no clue what was going on, but he was reacting to everything, and it was great because he has such a good sense of humor.
Yeah. All right, I had to take a little pause there, but yeah, we were talking about the Pride versus New Testament or Final Testaments. God, I did it. I just See? Did it.
And I'll have to reach out. I think they had New Testament on that. I gotta reach.
Might have actually did that.
I might have.
But the commentary by Snoop Dogg, it was so off the chain, so like complete nonsense. And here's the thing: I'm pretty sure he stopped smoking. So this is him sober.
Yeah.
Just being so ridiculous and silly. I loved it.
Well, yeah, you don't expect Snoop to be, you know, keeping track of the mid card of especially this low down for wrestling.
Right. And he's I'm wondering like who had it in their mind to put him on commentary? Because they're an evil genius, whoever they are.
Yeah. That's great. Please bring him back, because he saves the worst moment of the night every time. Last time when Shane McMahon blew out his legs.
Oh yeah, that's, oh my God.
Snoop came in and saved that match.
Yeah.
And did the Snoop Dogg elbow and and pinned the Miz.
So that was followed by L.A. Knight. Yeah. Defeating AJ Styles. In a okay match.
It was good, you know.
It was good.
As long as LA won, that was my main sticking point. I was like, this guy has to get a W, for crying out loud.
Yeah. Because they need to do something.
Yeah.
because he is so good. Then that was followed by the U.S. title three-way Logan Paul versus Kevin Owens versus Randy Orton, with Logan Paul getting the win and retaining his U.S. title. This is insane. It's Logan Paul. His matches are always good. Why? Why are they always good? Why is he good at this?
He's only been doing this for a couple years.
And by the way, in all that time, he has had the best buckshot lariat. Yeah, sorry, Hangman Page, that I have ever seen.
Yeah,
over the rope and then to the and he had his first botch since doing it, and he's been doing it for like 2 years now. Like how? The dude does a podcast and sells Prime, which, by the way, that logo did not bother me as much as I thought it
would. I thought I was going to hate it, and I was like,
I think making it just plain black kind of saved it. If it was like in the red, white, and blue colors, I'd be like, that's very strange.
Yes.
Making it just plain black was like, all right. They already have sponsors everywhere now, especially on the electronic stuff, which I'm like, are you going to have like... Is this going to be like NASCAR? Like every match has a sponsor?
Yes, it is.
Like our next match is brought to you by Links, Hot Links. Good years today in the circuit. Our next match is brought to you by Milk. So this is not going to be a good match. That's the only spot. Milk.
Yeah, no. This is a dark match brought to you by Trojan.
Yeah, so that was a good match. Then we had the co-main event, where Bayley defeated Io Sky to become the new women's world WWE champion. Great moment for Bayley. I've always thought she was the kind of the all around best performer of the four horsemen, so to speak. I always felt like she had more technical ability than, you know, all four of them combined, with more personality and mic work and just everything, and just the little psychology stuff. I always felt like she was the standout among the other. So it was nice to see her get a moment. Especially after being heel for so... She's been heel for so long.
Yeah.
Going back to the... Like, years now. And to finally see her be face again. And get a face up. You know, after going a while of being a face that was just booed because people were tired of her. And her gimmick. And they were like, something else. And... She made a great heel. I loved the Ding Dong Hello era.
Yeah, she, her along with Drew were the ones that really carried WWE through the shutdown.
Oh yeah,
it was great to see her.
Sasha Banks in there too, because once she joined her, the two of them were like just must see TV.
Yeah,
with an empty arena or warehouse. And then we had the main event, the one we were all waiting for. Cody Rhodes defeating Roman Reigns in a bloodline rules match to become the new WWE undisputed champion. He had a big celebration at the end. Everyone came in. He handed them the belt over to his mom, like he said he would. And he even held it above his head the same way his dad did. And with cameo appearances by The Rock, of course, but also John Cena and The Undertaker. I feel like we all thought maybe Austin would show up. Apparently they were talking to him, but there were some sticking points on money, but also on how much spotlight, in terms of he felt like... From what I understand, it was like he wanted bigger spotlight, but more like him showing up for just a spot wasn't he cares about his character a little more than just showing up for a spot. Like, he would want to show up for a bigger thing, whether it's a match or a long-term kind of booking thing, especially after having such a great WrestleMania farewell last time when they were in Dallas, and getting that amazing match with Kevin Owens, followed up by the funniest, worst stunner to Vince McMahon ever on the second night. So we didn't get the WrestleMania reunion of Rock versus Austin that we all wanted. We did get a reunion of sorts of Rock and Cena, which was nice to see. And The Undertaker, just a surprise. He inducted Muhammad Ali into the Hall of Fame on the weekend. So it wasn't so much a surprise, but it was interesting. I've heard him talk about it. He has a podcast, because every former wrestler does now.
Yeah.
And
this is the one former wrestler that doesn't have Conrad Thompson being the person that they're talking to.
Yeah. He found someone else, which is crazy. He was talking about how, and I just saw it in a little short, so I didn't see the whole thing. But he was talking about how it came together and they kept checking in on him. Triple H kept calling and they were like, oh, we're thinking. And he was like, sure, just whenever, let me know. Let me know. And he said for him, being out there at WrestleMania, the last WrestleMania he was at was the Boneyard match. It was a short film. There was no crowd. He's been in front of crowds since and kind of gotten good, reception, but to be on WrestleMania again in one little spot and with The Rock, giving him, especially The Rock, doing some amazing character work and taking that choke slam and getting the ovation from the crowd, he said he's at peace now in terms of him having that farewell and going out with the crowd. He had the match he wanted with AJ. He was missing the crowd reaction and having that. He said it was in that, it was just a few seconds, but he said with maybe it was The Rock being there too and just the reaction everyone had. He said it was like he was back in 98. He said it was amazing. It made him feel that sense of, okay, I'm good with being retired fully now.
Yeah.
Which is really cool. I'm glad he had that moment. And I thought it called for it. It was really good because you had all the Jey Uso coming out to fend off Jimmy Uso. And then Solo came out. And he looked real pissed at Roman, too.
Yeah.
He picked up Roman. He was like, pin him. And Roman was like, I'll do it. I'll do my job. Like, just leave me alone. Which seems to be the direction we're going. We might see a Solo versus Roman forehead of the table coming down the pipeline at some point. Or a reveal that Solo is the acting head of the table under the orders of the actual head of the table, the final boss, The Rock, and that'll set up a Rock versus Roman thing, maybe. Who knows? Right. But Cena came out to lay him out. Rock came out to lay him out. And then, Taker laid him out. And then it was just Cody with the amazing, with the three crossroads, the 1-2-3. And this makes, for me, now that they've done it and they've finished this story, which I hate that phrase. I know Cody hates it too.
Yeah, he does.
It makes last WrestleMania incredible, where he loses to Roman, because of the story. Because this is what they should have done, by the way, with John Cena, when he got defeated by The Rock. Because if you look at the trajectory, Cena gets defeated by The Rock. The next night, he gets F5 by a returning Brock Lesnar. Following pay-per-view, he beats Brock Lesnar. He gets another pay-per-view. He wins again. He wins that full year. It's supposedly the hardest year of his life. And then he beats The Rock. It should have been what Cody's was, which he loses at WrestleMania. He has this program with Brock. He barely beats him the first time. He gets destroyed the second time.
Yeah.
The third time, he definitively wins.
Yeah.
And then he goes on to have war games in a literal war with the Bloodline. He then wins the Royal Rumble again. And then has to go through this whole story with The Rock trying to force his way in. And it makes that whole story of him coming back, getting injured, recovering, winning the Royal Rumble, getting screwed at Royal Rumble at WrestleMania, going through this whole year, going through The Rock and the Bloodline rules and all that. It made that final 1, 2, 3 absolutely amazing. And it was what we all wanted. And it's one of those things in wrestling where sometimes you just got to do the obvious thing. Sometimes you just got to give the audience what they want.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a case of that, because we all wanted it. We all got it. And it was amazing. And it makes what happens next so much more interesting, because we're all thinking, like, what on earth happens now?
Right.
Which we haven't felt like that in a while, because we always knew, well, I don't know what they're going to do now, but I mean, Roman's still champion. I don't know who's going to beat him.
He's right.
Beating everyone. So, but now it's literally anything goes.
Right.
So we're back to anything can happen. What are they going to do? What are they going to do with Roman? Is he going to turn face finally?
Right. Which we almost, it feels like we're going that way. I mean, I don't know if I saw some of the highlights from SmackDown yesterday, and the crowd is chanting, "We want Roman."
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's the way they're going to go, because, I mean, yeah. What did you think about the main event of WrestleMania 40?
My take on it was, I have too much going through my head. I thought the match was great. I loved that they didn't just immediately go to what we thought was going to happen. We knew interference was going to happen, but I'm so glad that they waited, I want to say, a good 20 minutes or so.
It's a 33-minute match.
Before we got
waited a while.
Any interference, because that's what we wanted. We wanted Roman versus Cody. Mm-hmm. Especially you and I have been waiting for that moment for a year. I was like, this has to happen.
Yeah.
Because I was genuinely mad. I'm still mad. Because I do think they kind of messed up in 39. Because you can tell this wasn't the plan.
No.
We're still waiting for that documentary to be dropped to tell us about their...
I am so mad about that. When they were teasing that, I was like, already?
Yeah.
Already releasing a behind the scenes of the WrestleMania we just finished watching a few seconds ago. Okay. Right. And then they don't release it because they have way more footage and they want to put post-Mania stuff in, which makes sense, but then don't advertise it.
Yeah, don't tease me like that.
Because now I keep checking YouTube to be like, is it up yet? Is it up yet? Mm-hmm. Is it on Peacock instead? I don't know. It's not. No, damn it.
Yeah. Yeah, but yeah, and so that's what also knowing, and the more we know, the more we learn. This was not the plan.
No.
The plan was Rock and Roman.
Yeah.
That only reinforces my opinion that Cody should have won at 39, because he is the face of the company. Imagine everything he did last year with the belt. Only elevated even more. And then you would, if if Cody had had the belt all this year, you don't need him to win the Rumble. Your path for Rock to Roman is much clearer. And then if you had a healthy CM Punk, you would have Cody versus Punk and Rock versus Roman, night one, night two, and you have a pretty incredible event. What bothers me, yeah, is the truth that we weren't going to get this ending, that Cody was going to be pushed off another year. And that barring the social media outcry, we were going to have to wait again for some odd reason, because The Rock said, yeah, I want to do this.
I mean, I will throw this in there. Part of that might have also been all they're talking about in the media about WWE is Vince McMahon and all this terrible stuff.
Yes.
How do we get wrestling fans and people in the media to just focus on the stuff we're doing? Because he's not even part of the company anymore.
Right.
We're still talking about Vince.
Oh, yeah. And I think
while part of the company.
Yes.
What do we do? Mm-hmm. Well, we got The Rock here. All right. Cool. We'll do something with him.
Right. And you can still do that.
Yeah.
If you had given Cody the belt at 39, Rock comes in and grabs all the media attention and gets it off of Vince, which is exactly what he did. Mm-hmm. And then on top of it, with the great interference of Taker and Cena and The Rock, again, that's what everybody's talking about. So mission accomplished. But I feel like you could have done the same thing with Cody with the belt.
I agree. I think you could have. But the thing I really like about this, though, you remember back, it must be like 10 years now, if not more, when the WWE, like, they had Shane come out and, or not Shane, they had Stephanie McMahon come out, they had Vince come out, and then they had Triple H come out, and they were like, you are the authority now, like, to the people. Like, we are going to start listening to you and blah, blah, blah. And then, of course, it was just, no, we're not. At the end of the day, it's just still Vince doing what Vince wants to do.
Yeah.
He's not going to listen to us. And in fact, they continued to do stuff like that. And that became the funniest, like, worst promo ever. Like, people talk about it, like, because it was ridiculous, because it was complete lies, and we all knew it when they were saying it.
Yeah.
And the thing I like now is they didn't need to have a Daniel Bryan thing where it was literally hijacking the show.
Yeah.
They almost immediately just saw the reaction online. They were like, oh, we had a misstep. In the past, they would have been like, no, we're just tunneling ahead. This is what we're doing.
Yeah.
We'll like it because I tell them to like it.
Mm-hmm.
But instead, they were like, all right, they don't like it. We made a mistake. How do we fix it? How do we make this good? And I don't care if it was what they planned originally or not. Ultimately, what we got is what we got, and I liked it, and I do think it would have been better if he won at 39 and carried the belt for a year and continued, but given what they got, I think they did a good job with it. I also agree with you. I like that the cameos and the run-ins, I think they were just in the last 5 minutes of the match, which means they had about, like, it's 33 minutes and 25 seconds. So they had about 26 minutes of just Rock versus, or Roman versus Cody.
Yeah.
And a lot of near falls, a lot of great wrestling, a lot of great back and forth. And then you had the run-ins.
Starting with Roman. And I, I love that they had Solo come in.
Yeah.
It's such a callback to 39. Exactly. And the other, the only thing that no one's pointed out that I think I actually get to, that at least I haven't heard this take. I like the inclusion of The Undertaker. People are upset that it wasn't Stone Cold. I actually thought it was perfect because it was Roman who beat The Undertaker at WrestleMania. It felt more connected to the story than if Stone Cold shows up.
That's true.
It's the Roman story.
Uh-huh.
So if Taker shows up, it makes sense.
Yeah.
He has Stone Cold just showing up for The Rock, it's kind of random. Taker showing up, once he did, I was like, this is perfect. This is great. I thought that was storyline wise made so much more sense. I tell you, that might have been I was a grown man who said out loud, there's no way The Undertaker's going to be there. When the gong went off, I was like, no way. I'm a grown man reacting like a child going, no way. Of course this can happen. Of course The Undertaker can show up. But I was like, no, he's not showing up.
Yeah.
When that gong hit, it was just an immediate, oh, no. The lights went out. It's like, ah, you're kidding me.
I certainly didn't expect him to show up wearing an Undertaker hoodie. He made it work. It's The Undertaker.
That either goes to him being like, I am not putting that stuff on anymore, or just goes to show you how last minute this planning was. Of, I didn't bring my gear, man.
I think it was more like he just didn't want to put anything on.
Yeah, like I'll.
That. Because Cena came out in his full thing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Very. It's very unfortunate to see. And it's a natural thing. It's nothing to laugh about, but it's really funny. Because he's, other than that, you look at him and he's like, oh, this is he's like a perfect physical human specimen.
Yeah.
Then he turns around and it's like, oh, never mind. Bald spot.
Yeah. Well.
It's perfect. I love it.
I love that he's riffed on that and he's over it.
Yeah.
Speaking as a follically challenged man myself, you know, you keep going. Yeah. But yeah, he is. I love how much he. Yeah, he's dedicated to the character.
Oh yeah,
he's so good. But to have him coming back made sense. Him being connected to The Rock that way.
Yeah,
that was great.
And Roman, because he had that great program with Roman too.
Right. So him showing up made sense. Now the. Before I forget, the Undertaker's saying that he feels good about it. He feels good. It feels very familiar. If you remember the last ride, he was like, okay, yeah, I'm done. That felt good. And then 2 weeks later, he's like, I don't know. And you and I communicated about this and my feelings about this. The guy loves it. He loves it too much. He's never going to have closure. Ric Flair never had closure. If Hogan could get in there and wrestle again, he would wrestle again. And you know what? I don't blame them.
Oh, me neither.
If I was on that high at that level of something, I wouldn't want to let go, no matter what the age. I would want to do it until the wheels fell off.
Dude, we know what that high feels like. We've performed in front of audiences of like 50.
Yes.
And that high is amazing. So let alone an audience of like, you know, 50,000, like, holy Lord, that like, I can't imagine just one day being like, all right, I'm done with that. No, like, holy God. It's like, it's a drug.
It's a drug.
And I think that's why he's doing cause he's doing touring, one dead man shows, one person shows, kind of like Mick Foley's doing. He has a podcast now, and I think also for him being old school, now that he's opened up the doors so much to him and who he is after years of not doing it at all, I think that's the other thing that's maybe keeping him. I think that's his way of keeping him away from not doing the Ric Flair thing or just the typical wrestler thing. Yeah. I don't want to say it's just Ric Flair because Terry Funk before him. Before Ric Flair retired a million times, Terry Funk retired a million times.
You don't understand. I only retired in Japan, so I'm not going to wrestle anymore in Japan.
I'd love to count up how many, like,
final Terry Funk matches.
Final, like, lose, and it's your, you know, putting your career on the line matches Terry Funk has wrestled in and lost.
Yeah.
It is hilarious how much that, because you feel like, oh, this, oh, I'm retired, oh, I'm not thing is a modern thing with like Ric Flair and with, you know, all these other wrestlers, Mick Foley.
Right.
But then you go back in time and you're like, oh no, Terry Funk was doing this. like most things, Terry Funk was doing this first.
Yeah.
Before anyone else. So.
Yeah. So yeah. True. So yeah, so I don't blame, I don't believe him that he feels like, oh yeah, that was the last thing I need. Like, nope. The bug is always there. Need to perform is always there, but I am glad he has that outlet. I do like how he fooled the people he works with on the podcast, because I listened to the episode. He said the guy that he hosts it with says, man, he didn't tell him that he was going to do that run in. It's like, man, yep, kayfabe's still alive, man. Yeah. Kayfabe's still alive. I was like,
love that.
I was in the box with you. I was in the suite with you. I look, turn away. You're not there. Light gone. Light's gone. You're down there.
How did that happen? Do you have actual magical powers?
So I love that he fooled the people with him. It was great.
Oh yeah.
Like, no, he didn't. He didn't take that moment away from him.
Yeah.
Like, that was great.
It's great. Yeah. And he's right. Like, for a second there, just the look on Rock's face, and then the choke slam, and that whole like 15-20 second moment. Like, yeah, it did feel like, oh my god, I'm a kid again, and I'm watching, you know, I'm watching Raw's War, and I'm watching, you know, this chaotic stuff that's going on, because it had that Attitude Era feeling that like. The great Austin matches that would have like all these run-ins and you know, things in here and there, and like, oh my god, there's no hope, who's gonna save the day, oh my god, it's, they're in the ring, oh my god, they're saving the day, and it's like, oh my god, what's going on?
Yeah. Well,
it had that feeling and it was amazing. And so overall, rating wise WrestleMania 40, is it the greatest WrestleMania of all time?
I don't know if it's the greatest, but I would say it's definitely in the top five, especially for main events, for overall experiences.
Well, we all know it's not the greatest WrestleMania match of all time. That already happened between
Randy Orton and Edge.
No, that was the greatest wrestling match of all time. Greatest WrestleMania match of all time, as it was billed, was between Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar. In the last WrestleMania match they had together.
Oh man, that's right. That was I had forgotten that that was part of the billing. Like, yeah,
they advertised it that way. That way, we all know, and we don't have to argue anymore. Yeah.
Oh, I mean, it's up there. It's up there for me with 18, with 17, and also. Both Savage WrestleMania is the one where he won the tournament, and then the following one of him versus Hogan.
Yeah, I just played that match on 2K24.
That's a fun one.
In the showcase. Yeah,
I love that. I love that. And then my last, if we're just doing rattling off new top fives that I'm sure we've already done, would be WrestleMania 15, where the first Rock versus Stone Cold. That's just a solid.
Yeah, I really
so like. I think it's right up there with all those.
Me too. I don't know where I'd put it, but I definitely think it's a top five or top ten, if not top five. And that's after. I mean, last year's was pretty damn good too.
Yeah,
but after a decade of is this WrestleMania going to be good? Is it going to be bad? What is it going to be? And you would measure how good the WrestleMania is by just like, did it have one amazing match at least? And then you would say, okay, it's a successful WrestleMania. But having a show where like, no, like top to bottom, it was pretty solid both nights. And
yeah.
I really loved it. And I think it's a great mark for the beginning of the Triple H era, even though it started a while back, like making it officially like his era. And I know they're doing that too, just to be like, yeah, Vince is gone.
Yes, that is the, yeah, that's the
the other reason they're doing it.
Yeah, that's the
like under. He's the guy. Okay, he's calling all the shots. So blame him or praise him. Vince has nothing to do with it.
Yeah, that's the truth. I did like, I would say this is the greatest WrestleMania of the two night era.
I agree. I think
this made such. This was the first time I said to myself, "Yes, this should be two nights." That you purposely put matches and stories in there that make you watch night one and night two.
Definitely.
That they did. They built such a good bridge from the main event of night one to the main event of night two that it was all related. Stories made sense.
Even with the Seth Rollins match too.
Yeah.
Like, carrying over, like, oh yeah, he got destroyed in that tag team match, so his match with Drew was so, he was so beat up, so like that was great. Yeah,
it was great. So yeah, as far as the two night era goes, I mean, I think it's, this clearly is the winner.
Yeah,
for sure.
Cool. So something something Cody Rhodes.
That's how I wanted to start the episode, actually. I didn't have the guts to start off going something something Cody Rhodes. CM Punk is faking his injury. Whoa.
That's our WrestleMania review. Thank you for listening. And our next episode, I cannot wait. We are going to predict / dream book WrestleMania 41. They still haven't revealed where it's going to be, unfortunately. I thought they usually have by now.
Yeah, they usually do. It's like the Super Bowl. They usually announce the year before.
They're also trying to fool around because this one came... like they were running up against March Madness too, so they were trying to they're thinking about pushing WrestleMania. There's a rumor I saw today of like they're thinking about May, which I'm like, it's a little no.
Come on.
No.
Okay.
March or April, like just you're fine. It's WrestleMania. You're not, don't worry about, you know, the Final Four, or put it earlier in the, you know, the bracket when maybe people are paying attention. And for that one, we have we're doing 10 matches, 5 for night 1, 5 for night 2. I can't wait. This is exciting.
Oh, it's going to be fun.
I'm actually playing 2K5. I got 2K24 the other day, the other week, actually. And I've been playing it just a little bit. And so far, I like it.
It's fun.
It's different and new enough for me to justify changing over. That's the problem I have with the 2K sports ones with the EA is it's like, how much of a change? It's, you do one a year. How big of a change is it from year to year for me to just shelling out another $70?
Right.
You know, so.
Yeah. And we're all just waiting for that CM Punk DLC that I think is supposed to come in May.
Yeah.
So here's hoping.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Thank you for listening, everyone. And we'll see you next time.